I don't have any financial conflicts of interest to disclose. Doctors have known about the harmful effects of tobacco for a very long time. In researching for this talk, I looked back at the first issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, which is one of the most widely circulated journals in the world, and it mentioned an article on the pernicious effects of tobacco smoking in children dating back to 1883. The issue came out in the summer, it was July 1883. What's interesting is that the bad habits of the tobacco industry were evident even then, because the smokers interviewed and studied for this research paper were 9 to 15 years old. So it was commonplace for children below the age of 15 to smoke about 150 years ago. Now, fast forward to 1942, and you see the stronghold of the tobacco industry on all facets of society, including the medical profession. Camel cigarettes exhibited a booth at the AMA annual meeting to demonstrate the nicotine absorption from cigarette smoke in the human respiratory tract in a vain attempt to convince physicians of the beneficial effects of tobacco. Unfortunately, 60% of smokers, doctors, were smoking tobacco by the late 1940s. In 1964, the AMA was prescient in recognizing the significant relationship between cigarette smoking and lung cancer, and that smoking is a serious health hazard, and these ideas were reinforced by the landmark report by the United States Surgeon General that year. That same year, or perhaps in the years following, the AMA imposed bans on tobacco advertising in all of its publications. The AMA efforts for tobacco prevention advocacy from the 1960s onward tell us a story where the AMA, like most other science-based professions, was initially skeptical about the impact of warning labels on cigarette packs, but eventually turned around and changed its position and became a strong advocate for more explicit warnings. Elected leaders of the AMA have presented congressional testimony a number of times opposing federal subsidies for tobacco growers and support for cigarette taxes, and also for a host of other actions highlighted in the bullets below. The AMA is a policy-making body. It is a very democratic organization, and I have to mention that the policies formed by the leaders at the AMA have small but measurable impact on the way healthcare is practiced by physicians, but quite a significant impact on undergraduate and graduate medical education. So trainees really look up to the AMA for leadership, and that's why these policies have relevance for engaging physicians and using them really in tobacco cessation efforts. So the AMA House of Delegates has enacted policies opposing tobacco advertising and investing in the tobacco industry, and also has policies favoring regulation of tobacco products. I'll speak a little more about the newer products, funding national quitline and tobacco research, increased taxation of the electronic nicotine delivery systems or e-cigarettes, and third-party payment for treating nicotine addiction. The AMA has been a staunch ally in the advocacy for smoke-free environments and workplaces, especially schools. A number of policies have been passed by the AMA House of Delegates over the last several decades, and this slide summarizes many of them as they relate to tobacco cessation. The AMA advises physicians to quit smoking themselves and urge their colleagues to quit, and to prohibit smoking in medical offices. It urges physicians to use existing clinical practice guidelines for treating patients with nicotine dependence. It asks them to inquire about smoking at every single visit and counsel those who smoke to quit. It advises them to become aware of and refer to cessation programs in the community, to speak to community groups about tobacco use. It encourages state and county medical societies, of which there is a network all over the country, to sponsor, support, and promote efforts to help physicians counsel their patients about smoking cessation. And it encourages the development of cessation programs implemented jointly by local medical societies, health departments, and pharmacists. A word about electronic nicotine delivery systems. The reason why it has been so challenging to form any kind of policy against e-cigarettes is that it's not one uniform product, and that's bewildering because of the lack of regulation. Over 400 different products are marketed as electronic nicotine delivery systems. The vapor is considered less harmful than combustible cigarettes for some reason. There is no government regulation of manufacturing or marketing. They are being promoted by the industry as a, quote, safer alternative for current smokers. have flavoring and advertising tactics that are clearly targeted at youth and are not approved for smoking cessation by the FDA. I've put this slide together after sifting through a bunch of the evidence. A lot of it has been published in the last year in an attempt to perhaps share where these issues might come up in the future before the House of Delegates at the AMA. I think the scientific evidence shows that e-cigarettes do not help smokers quit tobacco. A couple of very large-scale reviews have been published in 2015 that essentially prove this point. It's also a fact that e-cigarettes attract non-smokers and ex-smokers to nicotine use. It's quite likely that e-cigarettes can help reduce combustible cigarette use among current smokers. Unfortunately, that does seem to be in the evidence. It's possible that e-cigarettes have less acute or short-term toxicity than combustible cigarettes. It's possible that e-cigarettes attract non-smokers to combustible cigarettes. In fact, a great study on this subject came out just last month in JAMA, and it's unknown whether e-cigarettes have less long-term toxicity than combustible cigarettes or not. Whether we like it or not, this is the state of the scientific evidence today. Now, on to the good part. Last month, the week of 20th October, Annals of Internal Medicine published a very exhaustive review of reviews for the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force about smoking cessation interventions. And this review concluded that there were only two randomized controlled trials that looked at the effectiveness of e-cigarettes for quitting and found that there was no benefit among smokers intending to quit. This confirmed the findings of a previous review from the year before conducted by the Cochrane Group in the UK. And the conclusion in the bottom sentence is that neither of these trials nor the limited number of observational studies reported any serious adverse events. They also did not show any benefit in terms of quitting tobacco. As a consequence of this, the US Preventive Services Task Force recommendation that came out also last month, I'll read the statement at the bottom, concluded that the current evidence is insufficient to recommend electronic nicotine delivery systems for tobacco cessation in adults, and it recommends that clinicians direct patients who smoke tobacco to other cessation interventions with established effectiveness and safety. Now, we all in this room and hopefully outside the room as well clearly recognize that e-cigarettes are harmful to children. The developing brain, as we all know, is highly susceptible to nicotine addiction, and it generally begins before adulthood. That's been said many times today. U.S. adolescents' awareness and use of e-cigarettes is increasing, which is very troubling. It's gone up by more than tenfold in just the last 3 or 4 years. They serve as a gateway drug to combustible cigarettes, and the manufacturers are deliberately targeting adolescents through selective use of flavors and media channels. The AMA has responded. Over the last few years, the AMA House of Delegates has passed policies against e-cigarettes. The AMA supports extending FDA regulation of tobacco products to electronic cigarettes and all other non-pharmaceutical tobacco or nicotine products. It supports regulation of e-cigarettes, including establishing a minimum legal purchasing age of 18. I want to share with you that there are two policies on this subject. The other policy recommends a minimum legal purchasing age of 21. Sometimes multiple policies get passed and then people like me and others have to reconcile those, but this is what was in the larger policy statement that was passed more recently. Prohibiting use in all places that tobacco use is prohibited. Applying the same marketing and sales restrictions as tobacco, that's combustible tobacco. Prohibiting product claims of reduced risk or effectiveness as tobacco cessation tool until such time that credible evidence is available. Requiring secure tamper-proof packaging and design because nicotine is a toxic chemical and it can cause harm. Prohibiting the use of flavors that may enhance appeal to youth. So what is the role of physicians in the eyes of the American Medical Association? In the clinic, very clearly, physicians should follow U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommendations, use a 5-A's framework for every single patient and refer smokers to cessation programs in the community using FDA-approved cessation products. For those who use or ask about e-cigarettes, physicians should remain non-judgmental and encourage quitting and discuss FDA-approved interventions and clarify that e-cigarettes are not approved as cessation aids and have very limited safety data. For heavy smokers who bring up the question of e-cigarettes, physicians should be non-judgmental, encouraging and emphasize that every step in the right direction is a good one, because there are 42 million people who smoke. However, physicians have a role outside the walls of the medical office. In the community, physicians should be aware of the e-cigarette industry tactics. And as an example, we hold this up that in 2010, the tobacco industry, or rather the alternative cigarettes industry, sued the FDA to avoid being regulated as a drug coupled with a drug delivery device. This was the first attempt by the FDA to regulate this industry. And also, there's deliberate targeting of youth, which physicians should be aware of and advocate against. Physicians should join joint efforts by the state and county medical societies to promote the AMA policies that I just described against e-cigarettes. For example, they should support state and municipal efforts to prohibit the use of e-cigarettes in places where smoking is not allowed. I welcome other suggestions from the audience, which I can take back to the leaders at the AMA, and perhaps there will be more opportunities to work together. This is my name and email. I want to acknowledge one of the leaders at the AMA who has been working on smoking cessation for many years. So Janet Williams, my colleague, I'll ask her to stand up. She deserves a lot of credit because she helped prepare for this. Thank you.